marches on.
Doesn't seem like 2 weeks that I first arrived here, but that's how things go. I know why you, in your wisdom, say come for a month. But I appreciate the intensity of your welcome and your hospitality in these last 2 weeks. It's been a privilege and a blessing. Just a little report on our meetings with the boys and girls. As I think someone has already indicated, we had 4 young people stayed behind this afternoon and seemed to be quite clear in what they wanted to do. Trust the Lord Jesus as their Savior. That makes 5 this week. Well, you didn't know about the one on Tuesday night. Well, it wasn't here in Spanish Wells. It was in Durham, North Carolina. My own little 7-year-old daughter trusted the Lord this week, too. She'd been thinking and talking concerning this dear brother who'd gone to be with the Lord and had indicated to her mother, Mommy, I wouldn't be sure that I was going to heaven. And so she made sure. So that was a great thrill. Of course, all these things happen when you're not at home. But it's good to have a good wife who can look after these matters at home. 2 Samuel chapter 15 tonight, please. As you'll remember, we're looking at all the king's men, or at least some of them. Maybe if we'd had a month, we could have looked at all of them. But we're looking at some of David's mighty men. Let's remind ourselves of a point that we made early on in our studies, that we're looking at David officially. As far as his office is concerned, David is a type of our Lord Jesus Christ, and therefore commands the loyalty and the faithfulness of his men. Now, personally, David was just a human being, subject to the same temptations and tendencies as we are. Not a perfect man by any manner of means, and yet one who sought in his own way to follow his Lord. But as we look at David, there's a type of the Lord Jesus. As far as his office is concerned, we begin to see how we can easily draw parallels between some of his men and their attempts to give themselves wholeheartedly to their Lord, how we too can benefit from our understanding of how we seek to follow in discipleship our blessed Lord and Savior. On Tuesday evening, we looked at an old man, Barzillai, who didn't want to go over Jordan with David, who didn't want to go into the city of Jerusalem, who didn't care for the finer things of life, the fancy foods that the king could offer him, the beautiful music that often would reverberate around the palace. He was simply saying, I'm past these things. I'd rather just stay at home. Take some of the younger people. Bless them, if you will. But I don't want to go over, if it's all the same with you, David. But tonight I want to look at a young man who David sought to discourage from following him, but a young man who caught the vision of being part of David's great band of men, and said, David, I want to go with you. So tonight we're going to look at one who is young in the faith, as we might say. 2 Samuel chapter 15, verse 19, please. Then said the king to Ittai the Gittite, wherefore goest thou also with us? Return to thy place, and abide with the king. I take that to be Absalom, the rebel, the one who was pushing David out. David is saying, don't come with us. Go back to the city, and abide with Absalom. For thou art a stranger, and also an exile. Whereas thou camest but yesterday, should I this day make thee go up and down with us? Seeing I go whither I may, return thou, and take back thy brethren. Mercy and truth be with thee. And Ittai answered the king and said, as the Lord liveth, and as my lord the king liveth, surely in what place my lord the king shall be, whether in death or life, even there also will thy servant be. And David said to Ittai, "Go and pass over." And Ittai the Gittite passed over, and all his men, and all the little ones that were with him. Amen. May God bless his word to each heart tonight. I think you'll agree that there's something wonderfully refreshing about a new convert. In the first flush of spiritual enthusiasm, before he realizes that Christians have problems too, before he gets comfortable in the pew, before perhaps he's been discouraged by an older Christian. And I see Ittai as being a new convert. Someone who has just recently come to realize what David has to offer. Someone who recently has just joined the ranks of David's men. A man who is described as a Gittite. That means a native of Gath. There's someone else that we know about that came from Gath. Rather different man. Goliath, of course, we remember. Now, Ittai first appears at the rebellion of Absalom. This is the morning of David's flight. This isn't the first time David has had to grab his belongings and run. But as Absalom begins to take control of the city, and as Absalom has won the hearts of many of the people of the city, David decides he'd better move on. And he'd better do it fast. And so David crosses over the River Jordan in his way into exile. And a number of his faithful men follow after him. And one by one, as they cross over, David just reminds himself of the loyalty and the faithfulness of these mighty men. No wonder in 2 Samuel chapter 23, we have a list of some 37 of these great men that were faithful to the king. But Ittai comes. And basically David is saying this, "Listen, Ittai, you don't know what you're committing yourself to. You don't know the hardships that we are about to face. Don't feel compelled in any way. We don't expect you to come over with us." And Ittai's reply must have simply been this: "Maybe not, but I want to go." Let's look at some features of this man's life that I think will be helpful for us tonight. First of all, we'll look at Ittai's conversion. It was very recent. David says, "It seems like only yesterday you came." Maybe that's an exaggeration. It may have been several weeks or several months, but David is saying, "It seemed like only yesterday you joined our number." I might say, "It seems like only yesterday that I arrived in Spanish Wells. It's been almost 2 weeks," but you know the kind of thing that we say. It seems that way. Something very, very recent. And David, of course, knows that someone who has recently joined the group is someone who has not fully understood yet, through experience, just exactly what is expected of them. We might call him a novice. We might call him a neophyte. And of course, the Apostle Paul has a little to say about that, does he not? When he's talking about qualifications for spiritual leadership, the Apostle says, "Now, make sure he's not a novice. Make sure he's not just recently come to know the Lord as Savior. Make sure he's not a new convert, lest he enter into the condemnation of the devil. Lest he gets puffed up with pride." We need to be very careful what we do with our young people. We don't give them too much rope to start with. We give them limited areas of responsibility. And when they do that to the best of their ability, and when they do that effectively, then we give them more responsibility. As we're thinking on Sunday morning. Responsibility and dependability go hand in hand. Responsibility and independence go hand in hand. When a person proves that they can handle a certain area and proves they're dependable and responsible, then we release them. We free them up to do whatever we feel needs to be done
It's true in a home, it's true in a family, and it's certainly true in the fellowship of the local church. And I believe we need to be very careful with new converts. You'll be aware, I'm perfectly sure, of some who may have been personalities from the world of sport or from the world of entertainment, and they profess to be saved. And what do? We put them on the circuit. We put them around the nation, around the country, and we get them giving their testimony. Some of them go on well, but some of them fall by the wayside very, very quickly. And what a rebuke that is to us, that we have put forward something that may not be real and presented it as Christian experience. So we have to be very, very careful about this. Paul says not to put a new convert in leadership until he has proved himself, until his discipleship has been evidenced. Lay hands on no man suddenly, says the Apostle Paul in another place. I believe that means don't grab someone and force them into the service of the Lord until they are ready for it. I've heard more than one older brother say something like this to younger men. Don't go out into the Lord's work unless you can possibly help it. What do they mean by that? Simply this. Unless you're called of God, unless you're equipped by God for that work to which you're going into, things are going to get rough out there. I remember an older brother telling me years and years ago, if you know you're where the Lord wants you to be, doing what the Lord wants you to do, then you'll make it. Because when the problems arise, and when things get rough, and when you tend to get discouraged, if you can put your feet firmly on this fact that God has called me, God has sent me, God has put me in this place, then you can rest assured that God will keep you in that place and that God will bless you and use you there. And so when Ittai comes, a man who's recently joined David's band, David seeks to discourage him because his conversion was so recent. But notice secondly concerning Ittai's challenge. I see it as being a challenge that was reversed. You know, it seems to me that very often someone will rise to a challenge when we give the impression that they can't handle it. Sometimes we see this with our children, don't we? And we ask them to do something and they refuse. And then we say something like, well, you probably couldn't do it anyway. I don't think you could do that, could you? Well, of course I can. And the challenge comes in a sort of reversed way. And undoubtedly, this is something that worked as far as Ittai was concerned. Yes, he was a foreigner, a Gittite from Gath. But what a difference between this man from Gath and that giant from Gath. Goliath, as far as David was concerned, was pulling in the opposite direction. Ittai, however, was pulling in the same direction. But David didn't want to force him. He almost made it difficult for Ittai to follow him in discipleship. Do you understand the implications, he is saying? You came just yesterday, as it were. Should I this day make you go up and down with us? You know, we'll just be going wherever we may. There may be problems. There may be hardships. Blood, sweat, and tears. But many people rise to such a challenge when they think that it's going to be hard. Undoubtedly, Ittai accepted the challenge. Of course, our Lord Jesus says the same thing, does he not? He says, unless you forsake father, mother, brother, sister, wife, children, you cannot be my disciple. If any man will come after me and hate not brother, sister, father, mother, and so on, he cannot be my disciple. Now, what's the Lord saying here? Is he saying that you abandon these people and you neglect these people and you begin to despise these people? No. He's simply saying that if you're going to follow me, then I must come first in all of your relationships. And we know full well from our wider study of Scripture that we are encouraged, indeed commanded, to love our wife, our husband, our brother, our children. And so the Lord Jesus is simply saying this, I want your devotion to me to be so much greater than any human relationship that it pales into insignificance in comparison. So here's his challenge, reversed. You don't need to come with us, says Ithia. Yes, I will come with you. So let's look at his commitment. His conversion was recent. Ithia's challenge was reversed. But his commitment I see as being very real. He wanted to join the team. And he made a strong affirmation of his devotion to the rejected king. He had no guarantee that David was going to win, but he nevertheless wanted to be on David's team, on David's side. Let's look at this 21st verse again. And Ittai answered the king and said, as the Lord liveth, and as the king liveth, surely, in what place my lord the king shall be, whether in death or life, even there also will thy servant be. Wherever you go, David, no matter what the circumstances, I want to be there. King David, you can count on me. I hear shades of Ruth there, do you not? As Ruth made a similar commitment to her dear mother-in-law, Naomi. Entreat me not to leave thee, she said, or to return from following after thee. For where thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, thy God shall be my God. Where thou diest, I will die. And there I will be buried. What was she saying? She's saying to this dear woman, I'm with you. I'll stick with you. Hear my commitment to you. I am one with you. Her commitment was real, as was that of Ittai. I certainly believe that when the hymn writer was writing on the subject of commitment, and he wrote the following verse, that he had Ittai in mind. O Jesus, I have promised to serve thee to the end. You know the hymn, don't you? Now listen to this one. O Jesus, thou hast promised to all who follow thee that where thou art in glory, there shall thy servant be. Jesus, I have promised to serve thee to the end. O give me grace to follow my master and my friend. It's a partnership, isn't it? A partnership of master and servant. Now, once again, I want to stress that we don't look to our Savior merely as Master and Lord. We know Him as Lord and Savior. Master is a very formal title, and yet it reveals to us the relationship that exists between those who lead, the one who leads, and those who follow. But then we see Ittai's confirmation, and how reassuring it was. It's as David is saying, all right, Ittai, I hear what you're saying. I appreciate your desire. I listen to your expression of commitment. And what can I say, Ittai? Come on. You're in. You're accepted. David said to Ittai, go and pass over. All right, he says, you've convinced me. You've convinced me that you're a faithful man. You've convinced me that your commitment is to me. And certainly, I can do with 100, I can do with 1,000 men like you, Itiai. You're the kind of people we need. So, come on. Let's go. And it's wonderful, is it not, to realize that when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior and enter the pathway of discipleship with Him, we are accepted. I often say there's only one thing better than being saved, and it's being saved and knowing that you're saved. To have that glorious assurance that we belong. And when we commit to Him, He commits to us. Praise God for that. So there's His confirmation, which was so reassuring. And I don't believe any Christian can effectively serve the Lord until they have that personal assurance that their sins are forgiven, that they belong to Jesus Christ, that they're on their way to heaven, and that they are part of this great army of people faithfully serving the Lord until He comes again. You have that confirmation from the Lord Himself? How reassuring it is when we have that. The last thing I want us to look at just in the closing moments tonight concerns Ittai's commission and how rewarding it proved to be. I think the first thing we notice is this, that not only was he accepted by David, and not only was he encouraged to join the team by David, he actually passed over. And look at this. David said, go and pass over. And Ittai the Gittite passed over, and all his men, and all the little ones that were with him. You see, Ittai's influence was such that others went over with him. His men, and then the little ones. And I believe it will always be a kind of byproduct of our commitment to the service of our Lord and Savior, that when we get involved in the work of God, when we faithfully step out into a life of discipleship, we're going to bring others with us. The trouble is, for so long we've influenced others in the wrong direction, that when we're saved, and when we become part of the work of God, we ought to be bringing others with us. Let me ask you, how many have you brought over in recent weeks and months? You say, well, to be perfectly honest, I've been very lax here. Well, I'm glad you've got a gospel crusade coming up, because there's your opportunity to bring a few over with you, to bring a few into the services with you, to bring a few to the throne of grace as you go into the presence of the Lord daily. Bring them over with you. The men, thinking of some of these men out in the fishing boats. Thank the Lord for the Christian men out there who faithfully maintain their devotions, who faithfully maintain their witness, who faithfully maintain their Bible study. Ah, you're being watched and you know it. What an opportunity that is, simply to live the life. The men. And the women folks too. We often hear, we often pray for the men folks that aren't saved, but I'm perfectly sure there's some dear ladies around here as well who need to be brought over too. And the young ones, the boys and girls. Oh, my heart is full tonight when I think of what the Lord has done in our own home. I've often felt that it's a struggle and it's hard to leave home and be working with others and pointing other boys and girls to the Lord Jesus. And my great concern is that somehow we miss out in our own homes and in our own families. See, if we're bringing anybody over, we ought to be bringing our own children over. Now, in no way is that meant to be a reflection on those of you who in your own households right now are struggling with this very thing. But sometimes it takes time. And sometimes professions in early years don't prove to make it through the teenage years. I understand all of these things. That's why we often say, rather than so-and-so was saved, so-and-so professed to be saved. And that's the wisest way to look at it. Only time will tell. But, oh, brothers and sisters and dear young families tonight, let's strive to bring the young ones over with us. Ittai did. His commitment to David was so great that his men came over with him and the young ones that were with him came over too. And what happens? Well, not too long before he's given a position of great trust and responsibility. Along with Joab and Abishai, Ittai is allowed to become commander of 1/3 of David's army. You read about that in chapter 18 of the book of 2 Samuel sometime. You see, his loyalty had been proven in the early days so that eventually David gives him wider responsibility. That's how it always works. Faithful in little, faithful in much. But as we close tonight, isn't it interesting that this man, Ittai, was indeed a stranger and not of Israel? A stranger and an exile, he is described as being. And yet he was more faithful than many natural-born Israelites. And brothers and sisters, I believe you've been faithful too for the most part. And the Lord will bless you for that. But I sense tonight that we don't want to focus on our faithfulness. It's been sporadic at best. It's been partial at best. But we want to focus on his faithfulness. He's the one who's faithful. He's the one who challenges us to take our stand as followers and disciples of our Savior. And he's the one who graciously brings the rest along. The men, the women, the boys and the girls. It's not our work. We just happen to get involved a little in his service. It's his work. And it's his prerogative to convict and to convert. We just need to be in the right place at the right time doing the right thing. And I trust we'll find that that little threefold expression might characterize our lives day by day, being in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing. Maybe with the boys and girls of an afternoon. Maybe out in the children's group on Thursday night at prayer meeting time. Maybe with the teenagers on a Monday night. It may be out in the boats witnessing. It may be in the community loving our fellow men. But it's the Lord that does the work. He's faithful. You can count on him. Our God can be trusted. Our God can be trusted. So let's bring to him these needs, these men, these children that need to be brought over. And let's make sure there's nothing wrong with our discipleship. Let's make sure that our commitment is intact, that we are faithfully following. And then we can count on the faithfulness of our Lord to bring along those others for whom we pray. And let's keep praying. Amen. Now we just turn to a hymn that I think would be helpful for us tonight. Number 51.